The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
I want to welcome my listeners today to a very special program. I know I call programs special, but I am sitting here with a friend actually of many, many years, with Bishop Emmanuel Badejo of Oyo, Nigeria. And he and other bishops from Nigeria provinces have been in Rome for what's called an ad limina visit. And we're going to talk about that, but obviously we're going to focus today on the situation for Catholics, for Christians in Africa. So I just want to say, dear friend, Bishop Emmanuel, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. Very good to see you after so many years again.
It's wonderful, and we had a great show a few years ago and talked about your ministry with young people and so forth. But right now we do know that the situation in your country is very drastic. I know that you met the Pope the other day. Obviously, all of you shared your problems. I'm sure he had good questions, and he's a good listener.
That's very true.
He's well known for that. Yeah. So just you, as bishops, your first impression of this American Pope?
For me, it's just a wonderful meeting that we had. It was so easy to be comfortable in his presence. He gave us all the time we needed to interact with him and to ask him questions, and which he answered off the cuff. We were lucky because the Pope knows Nigeria quite well.
He's
been a superior of the Augustinians, and he has had quite a number of visits to Nigeria. But he made us see that to put that together in context, the Nigerian context, together with the context of the entire world, is something that would require a lot of stronger faith, for one thing, and to continue to pray for God's intervention in these things, and that as much as possible, he himself as a person and the Vatican will do everything possible to sustain and support the effort of the church at the local level, which is pretty obvious. What is the effort of the church? To give hope,
sure,
to continue the mission of Christ, that God is always present with his people, and as well to do all we can to activate the charity dimension of the church's mission, so that people never feel alone, that they always have the opportunity to begin afresh again.
Absolutely.
And so life continues.
Yes. So it's what we've all learned from childhood. It's faith, it's hope, and it's charity.
That's right.
And love.
That's right.
Exactly.
All good together.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I am sure it was just a wonderful meeting, and other provinces of Nigeria, other bishops will be coming soon, you know, as well. But to get to what's happening in your country, of course, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Nigeria described Nigeria as bleeding. So what is the most urgent step everybody, including the government, obviously, must take to end this senseless bloodshed?
It's very clear. Just to be very, very determined and decisive about security of life and property. As the bishops continue to say, one single life lost is already too bad. And government in Nigeria has to be reminded constantly of its responsibility, that first thing that governance is needed for is to secure life and property. And the church has always offered everything it has in Nigeria, everything, to support government in making this happen,
right,
which is really to challenge even the security agencies, those who are given the responsibility for security, to be, first of all, honest, transparent, accountable, and to be determined to make the country a better place for everybody to live in. The government claims to be doing all it can, but in our last communique, we let the government know that all the government can do for now is simply not good enough, and that Nigerians deserve to live in their own country, feeling safe, feeling comfortable, so that they can actually live with the dignity of the children of God.
Absolutely. And so how does the church sustain the faith of people amidst kidnappings and attacks and so forth? What a challenge.
Yes, indeed. I tell you, it can be terrible. It's worse in some parts of Nigeria than in others. If you think about the northern part, the middle belt, where there has been numerous clashes between who we call the Fulani herdsmen, the bandits, the terrorists, in areas that are of a majority Catholic population. And that is where you have heard in recent times about a genocide going on in Nigeria against Christians. It is obvious that if you live in a zone where Christians are 90% of the population, when these attacks come constantly, of course Christians suffer heavy losses. And that justifies the reason why some people say there's genocide going on in Nigeria. That may not be the case all over the country, but it's certainly a means for concern, a reason for concern for everybody. And so what does the church do? First of all, we continue to leverage on the Year of Hope, which has been just celebrated, the Jubilee of Hope. Hope never dies. And as long as there is hope, there is going to be opportunity for a change. And the church herself engages in advocacy a lot with government, both internally and externally.
Sure.
A lot of people know how some bishops actually in Nigeria had the opportunity to address the assembly in the United States, asking for help, for support for the Nigerian government so that it could actually confront the Islamic terrorism and the banditry and the land grabbers and the Fulani herdsmen clash that seems to be getting out of hand. On top of that, the church is present with those who are suffering, those who are losing lives and property. With its all the organs of the church's charity in Nigeria is working double time at this time, because the church represents the face of God always present with his people,
sure,
whether they are on the move, whether in the camps, whether they are suffering out there, so that
in
they
good
always,
times and bad
in yeah. good times and bad times with material needs as well, so that they can have the hope of starting again and just living,
sure.
keep life going. And plus, the fact that those who have been traumatized by the experiences they've had, the church has set up various organizations and institutions to help them recover psychologically from the hurt of what they have experienced. This is ongoing. At the same time, helping our young people to know that as Christians, we condemn the evil acts, not the people, because people can always change.
Sure.
And the church has a lot of legacy about that. Saint Paul would qualify in his early life as one of the terrorists of the times that we are in
today. Yeah, right.
Yes, but
when
he had an encounter with Christ, he became Paul. And we say all these people, whether they are Muslims or the traditional religion or Fulanese, can also become better people. And so we have an interreligious dialogue program that keeps people saying, look, what we need is to understand the values that Christianity presents as values that don't only benefit Christians, but benefit all humanity.
Sure.
Sanctity of life, respect for the sanctity of life, benefits everybody. The principle of solidarity benefits everybody.
Social justice.
Yes, and the common good. When the good is common, and the common, everybody has a good to share, then everybody lives in peace and harmony.
Right.
So these are steps that keep people going, because obviously the church does not have an army. The church cannot buy arms and give to people to fight. But we try to fight the moral battle, the spiritual battle.
Absolutely.
To help to win those who do not see the need for salvation to come over and work for peace and harmony in society.
Well, and actually, a bishop's communique did highlight the need for interreligious dialogue,
right.
particularly with the overlapping of like Lent and Ramadan,
that's right.
which we have this year.
That's right.
And so how can faith leaders build this lasting culture of peace?
In Nigeria, it's obvious that we have a job that is cut out for us. The leaders in Nigeria, most of them, are either Christians or Muslims. And so we use the clash, the intersection of this Lent and Ramadan period to call on all of them, whether they are Christians or Muslims, to know that there is a power above us who wants us to do something about the society in Nigeria. Everybody agrees, Muslims or Christians, that the situation in Nigeria is not normal. It is not human. It's not the way people should live. Therefore, if we believe in God, as Muslims or as Christians, we ought to be able to make that spirituality and belief count to
yes.
have an impact in society. So if Muslims call their religion a religion of peace, where is the impact? If Christians call their religion a religion of love, where is the impact? The impact of peace and love can only be harmony, peaceful coexistence, and development. That is what Nigeria is lacking. So we ought to have an examination of conscience and change our ways, because it's not just about preaching and telling stories. It's about testimony. It's about witnessing from the actions that we take as leaders in whatever positions of leadership we occupy. That is why the recent Nigerian bishops' communique speaks a lot about leadership as a pillar of the common good.
Absolutely.
A leader must help people.
And, my friend, people follow witnesses and examples
more than words. Than they do words. That's what the
Because
Pope,
the thing
the
is, if I say Pope these
said,
words
yes,
and then don't act them,
that's very true.
Why would they even believe me?
The letter of James says, show me your good works, and then I will believe you have faith.
Yeah.
You know, I show you my works so that you know I have faith.
Exactly.
If you show me your faith and you have no good works, it's as good as nothing. And so we hope that this kind of witnessing and push will bring Nigeria back to the path of justice, equity, and peace.
Let's hope.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1981. The FCC license to operate a satellite earth station, the first ever given to an order of nuns, was granted to Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. Mother Angelica flips the switch and EWTN begins transmitting from Irondale, Alabama.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
The Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of September is for the care of water. Let us pray for a just and sustainable management of water, a vital resource, so that everyone may have equal access to it.
This is a Pro-Life Minute with doctors Stephen and Gracie Christie.
Steve, here's a really ugly accusation that's leveled at us all the time. You pro-lifers only care about babies while they're inside the uterus. Once they're born, you don't care for the poor and needy.
And what I always say is, what makes you think that pro-life advocates care less for the needy than pro-choicers? Did you know that pro-lifers give a greater percentage of their income and volunteer more of their time to the needy than those who identify as pro-choice? Now, you might believe that progressive social policies are better for the poor than conservative policies, and that's a legitimate debate to have. But it's both arrogant and inaccurate to simply claim that pro-choicers who donate less of their time and less of their money to the poor somehow care more for the poor than do the pro-life community.
Adoption rates also refute this falsehood. Pro-lifers are more than twice as likely to adopt as pro-choicers, again proving that pro-life movement is pro-life for all children. So claiming that pro-life advocates don't care about babies after they're born is pure nonsense.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Bishop Emmanuel Badejo of Oyo, Nigeria, as we continue to talk about the situation in his country. He's very positive and enthusiastic as he talks about his life as a bishop and what, in the face of trials, gives him hope as a shepherd of souls.
We have an interreligious dialogue program that keeps people saying, look, what we need is to understand the values that Christianity presents as values that don't only benefit Christians, but benefit all humanity.
Sure.
Sanctity of life, respect for the sanctity of life, benefits everybody. The principle of solidarity benefits everybody.
Social justice.
Yes, and the common good. When the good is common, and the common, everybody has a good to share, then everybody lives in peace and harmony.
Right.
So these are steps that keep people going, because obviously the church does not have an army. The church cannot buy arms and give to people to fight. But we try to fight the moral battle, the spiritual battle.
Absolutely.
To help to win those who do not see the need for salvation to come over and work for peace and harmony in society.
Well, and actually, Bishop's communique did highlight the need for interreligious dialogue,
right,
particularly with the overlapping of like Lent and Ramadan.
That's right.
Which we have this year.
That's right.
And so how can faith leaders build this lasting culture of peace?
In Nigeria, it's obvious that we have a job that is cut out for us. The leaders in Nigeria are, most of them, are either Christians or Muslims. And so we use the clash, the intersection of this Lent and Ramadan period to call on all of them, whether they are Christians or Muslims, to know that there is a power above us who wants us to do something about the society in Nigeria. Everybody agrees, Muslims or Christians, that the situation in Nigeria is not normal. It is not human. It's not the way people should live. Therefore, if we believe in God, as Muslims or as Christians, we ought to be able to make that spirituality and belief count to
yes.
have an impact in society. So if Muslims call their religion a religion of peace, where is the impact? If Christians call their religion a religion of love, where is the impact? The impact of peace and love can only be harmony, peaceful coexistence, and development. That is what Nigeria is lacking. So we ought to have an examination of conscience and change our ways, because it's not just about preaching and telling stories. It's about testimony. It's about witnessing
yes.
from the actions that we take as leaders in whatever positions of leadership we occupy. That is why the recent Nigerian bishops' communique speaks a lot about leadership as a pillar of the common good.
Absolutely.
A leader must help people.
And, my friend, people follow witnesses and examples
more
words.
Than they do words. That's what the
because
Pope,
the thing
the
is, if I say Pope these
said,
words
yes.
and then don't act them,
that's very true.
Why would they even believe me?
The letter of James says, "Show me your good works, and then I will believe you have faith."
Yeah.
You know, I show you my works so that you know I have faith.
Exactly.
If you show me your faith and you have no good works, it's as good as nothing. And so we hope that this kind of witnessing and push will bring Nigeria back to the path of justice, equity, and peace.
Let's hope, you know. And another thing that Bishop Sig did express to the government was the concern over the worsening social economic conditions. I mean, many Nigerians face extreme poverty.
That's
you
right.
can help them, but only, you know, to a certain extent. So what practical actions is the church taking for the social economic level?
I do believe that the work of the church becomes more effective when we manage to get the civil authorities to see the perspective. And as I mentioned, advocacy, the church has had quite a number of meetings and encounters with the leadership of Nigeria at the federal and the state levels to hold their feet closer to the fires of democracy so that the rule of law becomes effective. If the rule of law becomes effective and people are held accountable for
yes.
the benefits, the position, and the resources that they receive, there will be a lot more equity in society. As far as the church is concerned, if government can manage that, put the right policies in place, strengthen the institutions, then even the poor will feel accommodated in the justice system of the country. That is beginning to change gradually. The current government has put in place some of the most desired changes that Nigerians wanted, but had never found the leaders who would have the courage
Aww.
To make them happen. You would have heard about the removal of fuel subsidies. Because by giving student loans, Nigeria has never had that kind of thing in the past.
Good
to invest
know.
Public money into student loans, which don't give the students difficult conditions. They just take the loan. When they finish and have a job, like in more advanced countries, they can pay. If they don't have a job, they don't have to pay. When they do have a job, in a way that's convenient for them, then they can pay back those loans. And I know personally many students who otherwise would never be able to go to university.
Wonderful.
Who have taken the loans that pay for their tuition in university, and also give them some money to survive during the time they themselves are studying. The government has also put in place what we call the tax reforms in Nigeria.
Really?
Part of the problem in Nigeria is that the big people, spenders, the really wealthy people in Nigeria never pay tax. Now, these new tax
reforms, I think that might be a universal problem.
That's right. I bet it could be. But the new tax reforms has made it possible for a certain segment of the poor people to be excluded from paying tax.
Oh.
While it compels those who really make money, the wealthy, to pay the kind of tax they deserve, so that in a way you take a little bit from those who are more wealthy to cater for those who are really indigent.
Exactly.
The problem is that these things take quite a lot of time to have an effect, for the effect and impact to be felt.
Yeah.
Just more recently, a new electoral reform has been put in place, which will limit and lessen the capacity of the powerful to rig elections, to determine who becomes a leader, irrespective of what the people do.
Yeah.
Now, these are very impactful reforms, but which take a number of years to really be felt at the grassroots level. We admit that Nigeria has been under very, very woeful governance and leadership in the last 30 years or so. Now, it's not going to be easy to sort that out in 4 years. And while you are trying to change things, those who are affected by the change are going to fight back.
Sure.
They're going to find a way of making it difficult.
Sure.
So while we do not say that the current government is doing all it can and is perfect, we do acknowledge that there are some things that have been put in place that will make the future certainly better. In the meantime, the church does what it can with her resources to support people, support the poor, support young people, so that they can survive this very bad patch.
And I think it's important that while there might be negative factors, it's always important to emphasize the positive, the uplifting, the good, whatever the government has done, emphasize that.
That's why
people continue with
exactly.
hope.
Exactly. So that there's something that they can hold on to. That's why we say we leverage on the jubilee of hope that has just ended. We must never lose hope. The final clause of the bishop's last communique was that we must never let hope go. Romans chapter 5, verse 5.
Totally.
It does not disappoint us, no matter what happens. And as long as there's hope, then there's life. As long as there's life, there is hope. That's the message of the Christian.
They support each other.
That's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
But now, when you look back at all these challenges, what gives you hope as a shepherd today in Nigeria?
Oh, without even giving it a thought, I can say the young people in Nigeria.
Good.
The young people I find irrepressible. And if there's anything in Nigeria that is still positive internationally today, it is the achievements, the accomplishments of the young people in areas that could match anywhere in the world, in fintech, in sports, in entertainment, in creative arts. The young people are there, and they excel. And Nigeria is known most especially for the desire of its young people to study.
Good.
In all academic fields all over the world. In countries in the U.S. and in Europe here, the percentage of Nigerian young people who are excelling is much higher than most African countries. Of course, we have a large population. Nonetheless, even with that, it's clear that Nigerians are, especially if I may use the word, aggressive in study, wanting to make
good
progress.
Good.
The downside of it is that with the media, the social media, the public media, bad news make more news than good news. So you might find us...
Our motto.
That's
if
right.
It bleeds, it leads.
But that's right. Bad news is good news. Yes. That's right. So if a young Nigerian gets involved in drug trafficking or human trafficking, that gets front page. But when the young Nigerian excels in the university and you know, has 12 awards of the university,
wow,
it's only in the corner of the
awesome
paper.
Yeah.
So we need to tell our own stories much, much louder.
Good
because
for you, you're right.
Because a lot more young people in Nigeria are given a lot of hope. They never give up. And I think this goes back a long way. When Pope John Paul II, God bless his memory, came to Nigeria in 1982 and he met with the young people, he already said, you are the hope of this country. You are the hope of this continent because you have the drive, you have the energy, you have the generosity, and you have life ahead of you. And so me, because I've been so involved with young people, I see the generosity that they have. I see the hope that they have.
Sure.
And I see that all they need is a little support, you know, to get their dreams to come true.
Sure.
And as long as they are like that, Nigeria will survive in this bad patch with our prayers and, of course, with our faith in God, who is always close to us.
Well, I gave a talk once. I was receiving an award at my university. And I said, St. Mary's College did not know when I came to study for my BA that I already had my PhD. And I said, I got it from my father. PhD, passion, hard work, and dreams.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's what it sounds like you're trying to give the young people.
That's
they have the passion.
I'll add it to my repertoire now.
Yeah. So you can
passion,
quote me.
Yes. Hard work.
And dreams.
That's right. That's
you can't stop dreaming of making.
No, you can't.
You as a bishop and obviously the young people. So
when
you know.
The dream stops, life stops.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So.
Well, I know you go back to Nigeria this afternoon, or you're leaving Rome anyway this afternoon. And you're in my prayers. You have been since
Thank
the first
you,
time.
John.
I pray daily for priests.
Thank
you know,
John.
And
Thank you.
Seminarians and vocations. But I want to tell my listeners something delightful that I discovered. So Bishop Emmanuel Badejo, and I looked up his name. We're doing radio. I always want to be sure I pronounce things correctly.
Right.
And I discovered that his last name means one who brings joy. And if my listeners could be in the room with me, they would know exactly why he has that name, how he lives out that name.
Thank
so,
you.
You know, I know that after this program that a lot more people will be praying for all of you.
Thank you.
That
we
the
need that.
Country yes. refines, you know, peace and so forth. And because why not be great again?
Why
you know?
Not? Why
yeah,
not?
Make
it's
Nigeria
world.
Great again.
And that is the way God will want it. So
exactly.
Everybody great and living in peace and harmony.
Well, it was a joy for me to see you and wish you would have this conversation and wish you,
Thank you.
Well on your travels and back in your country.
Thank
and
you, John.
Just let your people know there's a lot of us praying for them.
I sure know. Will. God bless you, John.
And he
give
has.
You many more healthy years so you can continue to spread his word and help people like us have more voice on the world level.
Wonderful.
God bless you.
God bless all of us.
Thank you.
For more information on these stories or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.